In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Welcome back, everybody, to Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine.
And I'm Danny Murphy. You know we're your partners in wine, crime, and time. But Sarah, we have a very special guest joining us.
Yes, we sure do.
This week. Yes, I'm very excited. Comedian, superstar, TV star, I'm going to say, taking over the world. I'm in LA, and I was driving, and I saw you on a billboard, Dan, because Flatbush Misdemeanors Season 2 is out now. At time of this launching, this episode, it is out now, the first episode. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I know I didn't take a photo of it because I am not good at driving, so I can't multitask that, but it was very cool to see.
Oh, thank you. Yes, people have sent me photos of the billboards, and I just ask if anyone sees any vandalized, either on bus benches or anything, please send them to me, because I would also love to see that.
Because I'm reporting them one by one.
Yeah.
That is very, in terms of like true crimes, that is, vandalism is very low lived. That is very, it's kind of almost endearing. It's artistic.
Low level, and also, as someone who's from New York City, a badge of honor. If somebody were to draw a dick on your face, that's a nice rite of passage.
You do that with like a dollar slice, and then you're like, I'm home. I'm just so home.
Exactly.
And I do love, because me and Sarah, what is your obsession with like scams, cults, all that? Do you get obsessed with it, or are you like, I'm terrified and I don't want to learn anything more because I might join one?
I love scamming stuff.
Doing the scams?
No, I wish. No, what I'm so impressed with the scammers is that they have this energy and time that I don't have. Like, it's so much work. Like, I watched the bad vegan guy and the Tinder swindler, and these guys, they have so much energy for their long-term heists. It would take a fraction of that to just make as much money regular way. So that's what I really respect about them.
I would be like, can you give me money if you want to? Like, if you don't want to, it's cool.
I know. I would never push like that, but they're so, I love when it's not catch me if you can level genius. Like, these are usually often just clumsy, like weird, like obviously creepy, off-putting people. They're not DiCaprio charming guys, and so it's mesmerizing.
Yeah, you know, I feel some recent Leo is given a little like, I don't know if he could scam as well as he could in 20 years ago.
Definitely not. Titanic Leo could fly a plane.
Yeah.
It's too much of that like beer he says that's good for the environment. I don't really know how, but it doesn't.
I feel like only if you're 25, it would work on you.
I know. I guess his scam is just dating people whose frontal lobe has not fully developed yet. I don't know if that's a scam or a choice. But Dan, I'm curious, before we get into, because we picked a case to talk with you about that's very Brooklyn.
Okay.
But before that, I wonder, because you sold the show Flatbush Misdemeanors, which is so fun. Do you ever feel like you have to like scam to make anything happen in the TV world? Do you feel like you had to put on a scammer hat or go the opposite route?
1,000%. It's all a giant scam. Everything is a lie. Everything is just horseshit. Well, no, I mean, you have to scam from the very beginning. And so, you know, I was talking to people because we made it independently as a web series. And so if anybody has ever made stuff independently, you know, you just have to do whatever you can to shoot the thing. So the amount of lies I've told, I shot a short and I said I was a Greek student at City College finishing a class project, and that they let me shoot in a Greek Orthodox school because of it.
Oh my God.
I met with the principal and he was like, are you Greek? And I didn't want to lie, but I also didn't want to tell the truth. So I just muttered out grandfather, and he was like I guess implying my grandfather was Greek. And he's like, you speak Greek? And I was like, no. And he was like, well, he's like, oh, he says something in Greek. And I was like, oh, well, now you sound like my grandfather. And he was like, oh, come on. Oh, are you confirming it? It's all a scam. It's all, you do what you have to do to get the thing made, and it's all fine.
You're like, I'm not lying. I have a grandfather.
I mustered out a word, and if he took it context-wise mm-hmm. to connect those dots, fine, you know?
Love it.
And, you know, that is impressive. That's a note for everybody out there. Sometimes it's not lying if you just shout random words because you're just not forming sentences.
That, I agree.
If anyone's on trial, please just do a hoedown. Just vamp.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, Sarah, you found this case out, which is very interesting. Or you brought it to my attention. And Dan, are you a chocolate fan?
Of course, yes.
Okay. All right, Sarah, fill us in a little bit about what's going on here.
So I'm very excited. We're going to be talking about Mast Chocolate, which still is a chocolate company. It's like very hipstery. It's $10 a bar, maybe more now because of inflation.
I mean, that alone is very, $10 for a piece of chocolate is very scamming, but.
Very New York too.
Yes, right? And the bigger scam was that they claimed to be like making their own chocolate, but in fact, they may have just been melting other people's chocolate and just like repackaging it.
Which I mean, it is a smart thing because in a sense, like if you melt something, I feel like that is making it. Like, you know what I mean? Like if you're making nachos, you melt cheese. So there is some half truths to what they're doing.
So you're going to open up a farm to table nacho restaurant. It's in my microwave.
And I think that this is very, normal for any company, I think. This is Apple. We all use Apple, and they, you know, it was Windows made a thing, or Apple did, and Windows took from it. Great companies steal from each other and just capitalist their way to, you know, suppress the rest of us, you know?
It's synergy. It's cute. And it's also a thing, too, where it gets to a point. It's so adorable. My thing about capitalism is it's so fucking cute. I like them with their suits raising the rent. I'm like, it's like picture day. It's adorable.
Oh, my God.
And it also ties into the fact, too, that all these major companies, I don't want to know all the things I'm ingesting from a company. Like the nutritional, the back. No, I'm like, I'm next facts. To Pringles. Do I think I want? It's 9 a.m. in L.A. I'm next to Pringles. That's a life choice. But I don't want to know what I'm eating in them. I just know that they're delicious.
That is terrifying. It's the old how the sausage is made thing. I never want to know. I don't want to learn what's inside. It's just going to upset me. And then you just won't have anything.
I remember there was just one article that went around about like eyelids with sausage. And I was like, that's enough reading for the rest of my life.
What? No.
Hot dogs?
That's like when I read those articles that Parmesan cheese has like sawdust in it. And I'm like,
remember when there was that thing with Subway a few years ago? And
yes.
they were like, you got to stop like using foam from mattresses to make your bread. And they were like, fine. Like they were like, like they didn't want us. They're like, all right.
My God.
And now I'm onto something because it's like the foam bread, so fucking good. Parmesan delicious. That's sawdust. Why are we just not eating homes? Like it really, it's the new takeout. I'm just going to rent a new place to eat. Yeah.
That's what Habitat for Humanity is. It's just a meal program. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a meal prep. No, you have this house for 2 weeks. Yeah, it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Yeah.
Yeah.
All the cheese you can eat.
All right. So, Sarah, fill us in about this. If people don't know what the Mast Chocolate Company is, fill us in about it.
Okay. Yes. So, Mast Chocolate is actually a very popular chocolate company that was founded in 2007 by brothers Rick and Michael Mast. And they are from Iowa, and they moved to Williamsburg, which is already hipster.
It's pretty Brooklyn.
And Vanity Fair said they're widely credited for introducing artisanal chocolate to mainstream American culture. Is that true?
That shocked me.
I'm like, we knew about we knew about fancy chocolate.
Because I thought, like, in my mind, Godiva is still the fanciest chocolate of all time.
Yes,
I love a Lindt truffle.
Well, Godiva is kind of Trump-like in its branding because they're like, it's gold. Gold means it's expensive, you know? It's a very, like, childlike view.
Now I'm like, am I a chocolate conservative? I'm like, shit. Because I love that it just Golden says it's rich. I'm like, yeah.
I think you're kind of, yeah, like chocolate MAGA, you know?
Chocolate nugget, yeah.
Yeah.
So the Mas Brothers called their business the American Dream with a hipster twist. Painful. Truly painful.
Dan, as someone who has a whole show about Brooklyn, how much do you hate that sentence? The American Dream with a hipster twist.
I
mean, it's...
I almost feel like it's like a almost dated. It's like a 2013, 2014 kind of thing. This kind of hipster packaging.
Yeah. Lena Dunham was their marketing manager. Nobody knows that, but
exactly. Yes.
I mean, the fact that they maybe lied to people, I feel like, is truly the American Dream. So I think they were a little bit spot on with that. And they had these like beards that I feel like everybody was obsessed with because, again, it was 2007. And they kind of became like this overnight success. And they wrapped their chocolate in this expensive, really nice paper, sold it for $10 a bar, which we've already discussed is a crime. And they had a really fast expansion going from their apartment to a factory in 2008, then a larger one in 2011, and then they opened up places in LA and London. And one shop alone in Williamsburg earned $28,000 in sales in just one weekend. So they were a big deal. I mean, still are. I see that stuff everywhere.
I think their chocolate's still sold at Starbucks and places. So I feel like there's nothing that we're going to say in this episode knocked them down. If anything, right. They're just even
I saw it on a delivery app yesterday, and I was like, these guys are still around?
That's a level of sadness to get chocolate. A chocolate bar delivered to you is... I don't know.
Okay, well, I got ice cream.
Yeah,
instead.
You need
Thank
to
you.
Order a bunch of things. Even if your intent is just to get the chocolate to kind of soften and cushion the blow a little bit. You know? Well, I'm
just... It's just one guy handing me a chocolate bar at my door.
Yeah, you don't want him just bringing one sad chocolate bar. That's brutal.
They'd be like, I hope you have a therapist. Like, you need someone. This chocolate bar is not going to fix the problems that are happening inside you, sir.
I would hope they would like throw in tissues or Kleenex just for the tears that are probably happening.
Just bawling their eyes out. But honestly, like, so much of this chocolate, it was like dark chocolate too. So at least they're making like kind of health specific. I tell myself dark chocolate is the healthy
option.
I'm like,
healthy chocolate, right?
I pack no jeans on my 7-day trip for different reasons, besides the fact that I eat dark chocolate for health and I'm next to Pringles. But so it's a funny thing, like $10, I mean, some people are gasping, but like in New York, things are just so overpriced sometimes. And it kind of leads into the trend of it that they're like, oh, it's kind of like that stuffed croissant that was like $15. People just love that. But what the main drama that happened with them is because like Sarah, what you were saying, they were bean to bar chocolate, which I've never heard of this before. Bean to bar, which is kind of cool.
What does that mean?
Isn't that what it all is?
So it's kind of, I feel like it's like sort of like, it's like the natural wine of chocolate or like the people that like, it's like farm to table-y too. So
okay,
it's
okay,
like,
okay. Yeah.
It's the people
so like
that
not
are
mass produced, basically.
Yes.
This is the purest form of something that is sold in a wrapper at a counter.
And it also, I mean, I'm always like, because I'm like, it's like they're touching every step of it. I'm like, that kind of to me, I'm like, why are you advertising? I'm like, that's disgusting. They've just been massaging this chocolate since day of conception. But alas. But all these real ones, because like bean to bar, it kind of has like this, it's like wine connoisseur, literally, where the people are like so like judging of how other people make it. So everyone is like, I knew from day one something was up here. It's sort of like when people were like in like, murder documentaries were like, everything was so good, but something was off about this person and all that stuff. So they found out rumors around town was that they were using remelted chocolate, like Sarah was saying, and one particular chocolate manufacturer from France, Varona, was supplying them a lot of it, which I think also sounds chic. I would just say we're a French chocolate company and not lie about being
Brooklyn. That would actually sell. BRB, got incorporated business.
It would sell. Nobody would fact check it. It would just give the illusion of clout, which is really, that's the key to scamming successfully. It has to kind of sound like, all right, that's a thing. You need to sound good enough that nobody asks follow-up questions.
Yes.
That is a yes. And it usually works like a charm because instead of bean to bar, they're doing the bitches in berets and like you can still pay rent. I'm like, that's what the Mas Brothers messing up.
Yeah.
Yes, you would just need to talk with a French accent all the time. That could get tricky.
But then people go like, oh, you don't go to Valrhona? And they're like, do you go there? I was like, no, but I ate my chocolate from there. And it's like, really good at a whole thing. And it's also interesting, too, because I guess some chocolate tastes differently. I mean, I'm not really breaking the bank to, like, sample the chocolate. I'm usually getting it in a state of duress or I'm eating Reese's Pieces. But the bean-to-bar chocolate has a very distinctive taste that people can they sniff it, bite it, and can be like, oh, this chocolate is from, like, Ecuador or something like that. So people were biting this chocolate being like, I can't place it anywhere, and it doesn't taste bean-to-bar-y. Which, they're seeing through the cracks.
Meanwhile, I go to a wine tasting and I'm like, this is a red, like Michael Scott.
They're like, this tastes great. They're like, ma'am, that's the water at the table.
Right?
But then, of course, I love, so there's a lot of chocolatier drama that goes on. And this is a world I'm kind of now obsessed with. So there's this girl, Aubrey, who is a chocolatier in Portland, which I feel, if there's another place that would be involved in this, it is Portland, Oregon, because they love their specific niche things.
Oh, absolutely.
Have never been there, but I just can put two and two together. I've watched some Grey's Anatomy. I can put two and two together about the Northwest Coast.
I've never been either, but this is my sense as well, yes.
Right? It kind of has, I'm like, Portland.
It feels like a place where everybody would, it feels like a great scamming location. If you go, you could pull off a great heist there, yeah.
All you need is a deck of tarot cards and you can get a mansion in Portland in like 6 months, I think. And I say that as someone I would pay for someone in Portland to read my tarot cards, because it's be like, you have a better sense. Like, you're closer to the, I feel like you're closer to the wind over there, and I think that's needed for that.
Yeah.
But so this girl Aubrey was confident that they did not make their own chocolate. She was calling them out, saying it was overly refined, it tasted like industrial chocolate, and it didn't have like the balanced flavors that she liked. So here she kind of wanted to make this whole stampede against them. But what's interesting is because, like, when someone, this guy, Larry Gober, which kind of sounds like a guy who just loves his chocolate. I'm just like, Gober, you know, he's an Oklahoma chef. He was thinking about buying out Mast. And they did say, like, well, my favorite, it kind of is like they gave it like the commercial for like an antidepressant where they're like, oh my God, it's sourced like, you know, Venezuela, Ecuador, Dominican Republic, Madagascar. And then I was like, we then receive cocoa paste from like Valrhona and sometimes mix it all together and everything like that. And I'm like, all right, you put that like fine print really fast at the end of that.
Right.
Yes. So again, it kind of goes back to Dan being Greek. Is it a lie if you just make it like font 2 in your email?
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, yeah, definitely full of shit. But here's the thing with a lot of the scams that are uncovered, and I think this is one like that, where you are often undone unless you get, you know, Theranos-y, just like way too big for your britches, where it's like, okay, you are flying way, not just close to the sun, but into the sun with how much you're daring it. Until you get to that point, you're kind of just banking on like that other people don't care that much and have other things to do, and that they're not going to like eat the chocolate and then spend their days launching an investigation themselves, you know? So you're kind of good for a little while, you know?
It seems like, honestly, this is just too niche for anybody to care. Like, the chocolate world was up in arms, but everybody's just like, meh, they have a pretty wrapper and I'm cool with paying $10, like, to this day.
It is also one of those things where, like, someone having a conspiracy theory about chocolate, people are like, there's a lot. Like, I know we sometimes obsess about things that don't matter, but just eat your chocolate bar and get on with your fucking life. So they were smart with that. It's like, I'm like, oh, so you've never had trauma in your life if you need to get to the bottom of the chocolate controversy in Brooklyn.
Right. I think chocolate, it's a dessert. It's something you're feeling bad, you eat it. And so I don't think a lot of people are like, I want to make sure that this is an ethical consumption of chocolate. They're like, I just want to eat so much chocolate and lie down because life is beating me. I think that's more the like mantra and the ethos of chocolate.
Yes. And then you tell yourself it's made ethically, like, after the fact. Sure. To kind of make yourself feel better.
Oh, like Tom shoes. I bought so many Tom shoes during 2008. I'm like, where's the proof that they went anywhere? Because they was like,
true.
You buy a pair, we're going to send them someone. I'm like, wait, okay. I trust you too. I'm like, and I'm not gonna try to. I'm not gonna be like, guys, we have to rally against Toms. Everyone's gonna be like, oh, I'm dealing with like actual shit in my life.
Right. I'm hunting down.
2008. It really had this scammy thing. And to Dan's point too, this was back on like before Victoria's Secret was like, oh, sorry, did we give everybody anorexia? Because like they just ever, no one wanted to eat chocolate in 2008, but we all did because it was so good. But it was really that different. It was that mindset. Yeah. That hipster, Heidi Klum, or not Heidi Klum, what's that other? Giselle mindset.
Giselle, yes.
Giselle, shout out to her and her weird marriage. Yeah. So I'm like,
her husband who would rather, risk another brain injury than spend a month with them.
Truly.
That's the saddest.
Or eat a tomato.
He's got this supermodel wife, and they're like, he's like, well, no, I'll just take another concussion.
He had one dinner as a retired man and was like, fuck.
It's too much.
What, I'm just supposed to sit across from this model until I'm dead?
He's like, I don't know what, I don't know what it would be the football equivalent, but I feel like soon he's just gonna like ride the Zamboni around. He's just like, no, they still need me to do this. It's like, I just waved everybody so I cannot have a conversation.
All right.
You know, shout out to him and the time he kissed his kid. That's always weird. it's my one Tom Brady thing I'll never get over. So these guys, the Mass Brothers, weird family as well. They said that they hoped to be exclusively bean to bar by the end of their first year, which never happened, once our laboratory is complete. And everyone is kind of like, what fucking lab are you making here?
And also, like, you can't claim that you're bean to bar if you just, like, hope to be it. Like,
no.
I do like that. I do like the, and that seems like from having watched everything about Elizabeth Holmes that there is out there, it feels like a big thing with like rising companies is like the aspirational statement.
Yes.
Like, we are the most environmentally friendly. Like whether or not it's true, they're just words. You're just saying words. And people are like, I like those words. And then you're like, well, we hope to be. Then you can qualify it. Well, we hope to be by 2067. And you're like, okay, that's good. You hope. You know, it's like, buy it.
I hope to be a size medium by the end of the year. We all hope to do a lot of things. We're all out
and now
hope.
You are, Danny.
And you can't and you can't medium. Fall to hope. That's no. That's truth. That's some realness.
You really can't.
They manifested.
So they started to kind of, because they realized that this Valharona is making the headway. So they're starting to say, oh, yeah, we work with them a little bit. And like they did at the beginning, but then they kind of were like, kind of like a shitty partner in a relationship, but like, we used to, but we're done. Oh my God. It was a one-time thing. You know, it was a lack of judgment. We felt weak. They were French. You know, they had an accent. It was really like, they couldn't help themselves. Oh, at like a wine bar in Williamsburg, if someone French is talking to you, it's game over. So they kind of said they're changing their ways. My favorite though is because we had Aubrey in Portland. Now we have Art Pollard. Art, though. I love that his name is Art. Art and Chocolate. I actually trust this bitch more than anybody else. You give me a guy named Art, and it's really good.
I love a good Art, a guy named Hal. I don't know. Just
and he went to a place that I'm sure we have all spent some weekends. Brooklyn Flea.
Ugh, classic.
It's classic. It's just, if you want to, like, swelter while looking at, like, cardigans that, like, were worn by, like, a guy on a Navy boat in 1970s, run, don't walk. That was all I've seen at Brooklyn Flea, I feel like.
It's like me just thinking I can be on that show Flea Market Flip of like, yeah, I could totally get this dresser and turn it into like a side table. It's like, I'm not doing that. I don't even own a paintbrush.
I've never walked into Michael's, but I feel like I could win Flea Market Flip as well. It seems fun. Exactly. It's all in the scam. It's all in the sales of it. Because you buy something that's $5 and you bedazzle it and you're like, this could have been Marilyn Monroe's.
Right. And you're like, it's $100 now. And some hipster's like, that's a good price.
Yeah. So then Art was kind of sniffing around the Brooklyn Flea. And he said that he was like shocked that they were selling, the Mass Brothers were selling 6 varieties of chocolate bars. And he said, and I love Art because he seems a little petty. He said, I wasn't accusing. I'm just amazed that they're able to pull this off as a bean to bar company. So I'm like, okay, Art being a little chocolate shady there. And when he asked Mast about this, he's like, how do you get 6 bars? Because Art was saying it takes so long to make like one bar from bean to bar. How do you have all these ones? And they said they get their cacao from Trinidad. But that year, we all know this because it was like 2008.
We all know about Trinidad's cacao production in 2008.
Every single person who is anybody knows that Trinidad had a low cacao production due to the number of factors going on there. So Pollard was calling bullshit on them.
That's so funny and in keeping with, like, that's just another company thing of, like, I'll just name a country and bank that nobody really, that we're just like, ignorant Americans that don't really know what goes on anywhere else. So when you're like, well, how do you do that? And you're like, well, Uruguay, they have every kind of cardinal. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, whatever.
And then everybody at Brooklyn Flea is like, oh my God, I need to go there. I want to visit so bad. And like, do good. Like, have fun, but also do good when I'm there. It's like, sign, sealed, delivered.
Yeah, that's really almost can't lose when you make that kind of crazy claim.
That's the thing about these Mass Brothers. They know what they're doing.
They know how to market. I feel like someone said that about them. They were like, they're not good at making chocolate, but like, they're really good at marketing. They should just teach a class on that.
Well, that's like, you ever see, I think more foods are doing this, or they're packaging it, but they're saying stuff is vegan when it's like, I guess, but also...
like a banana, like, and you're like, yeah?
It'll be like Lay's barbecue chips, and they're like, it's vegan, and you're like, I guess, but what?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, Lay's, so no animals are at all in your factory, and it so happens, yeah.
Right, like, I don't think it's healthy still, but yeah, I'll eat it.
On this, but I think you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Or I feel so pissed. It's like, great source of vitamins. I'm like, which vitamins?
Yeah. Like, a lot of kinds of vitamins. Yeah. Yeah.
So then he started to question them a little bit more, and he was like, they were like, these three bars we made, and these other three .. are Valrhona. So they revealed to Art that they are using it. So again, it's more so it's an open secret kind of in that thing where they'll tell people in the biz. Just like, guys, this is what we're doing. Almost in a way to be like, these fuckers don't know the difference. Just make these cheaper bars to make money. But the true chocolatiers can't handle that. Because the drama adds on even more, because the Mass Brothers PR were like, we don't know where Valrhona is. We don't do that.
We don't know her. Yeah.
We don't know her. We're like, that bitch is a liar.
So this is like the funniest part to me, because eventually around like 2009... experts believed that Michael and Rick did actually start making some of their own chocolate. And the reason that they figured that out is because the quality of their bars just plummeted. And a reporter for the Dallas Food, who did this like four-part series on chocolate, which I wish I could get paid to do a four-part series on a chocolate scam. But so he described the taste as coarse and muddy. Ooh. Ouch.
I'm sure what happened there was they realized we're liars. It's getting a little out of hand. So let's try to do it the honest way. And we'll just start making our own. And it'll be fine. And then they're like, oh, no, we're like horrible. Oh. I remember years ago, there was a thing. I saw it on YouTube. And it was like, I don't know. It was like Australia's Got Talent or something. it was something like that. And I just saw it because it was a stand-up comedian who did great on the show, and then after he advanced, they found out he'd been stealing all his material from UK comedians or whatever. And then they advanced, and they called him on it. It was a thing, and then he came back the next week, and they're like, and he did his own material, and it was so bad. The judges were literally like, you know what? Keep stealing material. You did it. You did that stuff better. This stuff is really bad. So you go back to the other thing because you can't do this.
And God.
This is a little bit of that energy. It's like, keep being full of shit and taking whatever you're doing to get the good chocolate, because we would rather a lack of ethics that tastes good than like honest dog shit.
I wish I had the confidence to start a business, a full-on business, at something I was just not even good at. Could not do.
And I love, too, that Australia guy probably was like, you know what? My real material, they're going to see the real me, and it's going to hit so good. Cut to. No.
Oh, God. Like in Hacks. Okay. So, this is funny because that woman, Aubrey Lindley, or was it a guy? I actually don't know. Unisex name. Confusing. Tasted the chocolate again in 2010 and basically just roasted it. They said most of the chocolate was simply inedible by my standards.
Oh.
And you have to try, I think, to make chocolate inedible. Like, it's chocolate.
That's, I don't know if I've ever tasted chocolate that I'm like, I can't finish this in one sitting.
I don't know if I have. I only had one dollar slice ever that I felt like I want my dollar back. You know, it takes a lot to chocolate pizza. It takes a lot to like mess these things up. These are pretty like home run, you know, it's right on the tee, you know, for you. So if you screw it up, it's like impressive.
Yeah. So what's like funny is that also because part of their story was that they were self-taught, these like self-taught chocolate making MacGyvers. I think the self-taught part is evident.
That is facts. And also, why does, I feel like every startup now calls themselves MacGyvers. And I'm like, when does that reference age out? And
I'm
also,
like, name one episode that you've seen. I haven't seen one either. So no. I'm not one to talk, but this is wild because, you know, they would talk about their machines and how they kind of like invented this equipment so that they could like make this small batch chocolate. And they made a cookbook in 2013, talked Aww. About the machines and all the stuff they would use, which I'm also like, how many pages could there be? Like, you're making one thing. I don't know.
That, yeah, I get, because I feel like it's almost like when people are like, those like books of pancakes and it's like, make the pancakes and put blueberries. The next place is chocolate. I'm like, what is this for? But yeah. It was also 2013. That's when like everyone had a book at Urban Outfitters that was like, 5 pages long, and it's
that's
like,
so true.
Yeah, like the badass bitch Brooklyn guide to
Always.
Brunch. Right. I like, I'm gonna write that right now, and it would just be 10 pages, $28, and they're like, yes,
man, so right. Like, they're like, chocolate, fuck your life,
that's an
like,
instant bestseller. That's, there's some stuff where I'm like, man, I would bet 100,000 people bought this, and zero have opened it. Zero.
Exactly. It's on every bar cart, just dusted over. Yeah.
So they, in this cookbook, they talked about like the machines and everything they would use to make the chocolate. But again, our favorite chocolatier haters were like, there's actually no such thing as commercial equipment for small batch chocolate making.
It's not Florence and the Machine. It's chocolate. Yeah, they're not going to have any machines going on.
And what's also funny is that they did this tour, I think in 2009, in their Brooklyn factory, and a tour guide said that the brothers figured everything out via trial and error and referenced only ancient Incan or Mayan techniques, but she was like, I don't know which one, like one of those.
That's my favorite.
That's so cool.
But also, I love
too that peoples.
It's like this tour guide for like a chocolate shop. This like probably like 20-something Brooklyn girl who's just severely hungover, walking people around chocolate. She's like, I don't fucking know the Mayans. Like, she doesn't give a shit.
I don't even blame her.
No,
no.
I do that shit all the time.
And this is, it's fun that that's how it always kind of like comes to an end. Is like there are these like big scam, a lot of people like lose their money, a lot of people, and then it always ends up like, you know, with some, like, you ever see Shattered Glass? You ever see that one?
Ooh,
where it's
no.
Like, it, okay, so it's a guy, Stephen Glass, he wrote for the New Republic, and he was a feature, right? He would write like profiles of weird, interesting people he would find, you know, and then they found out they were all made up. He wrote like 40 stories. There were like cover stories for like major.
I think I'm watching this for my class, so thank you.
Yeah, it's Shattered Glass, and
oh my god,
and it was all made up. So he's a great writer, but he would just make up things. He'd be like, I was at this Young Republicans convention, and they were all acting crazy or whatever. It was stuff that like you felt like sounded true, so you wanted to believe it. And so then it ended the same way, where it's like the editor was like, okay, take me to where this happened, where this cyber hacker conference of children hackers happened, and he's just walking around, and it just ends with like the kid who didn't read the book being asked basic questions, and he's like, it was over there, and he's like, but that's a lobby, and he's like, no, but we put out chairs, like it was like crazy.
Oh god, I need to watch this.
Caught red-handed. Gosh. Oh my god.
A sad walkthrough is like the funniest way it could end. Yeah.
It's like him with sad just Google Maps, like, here, no, yeah.
It's kind of giving, like, Four Seasons landscaping. Like, I'm obsessed.
Yes.
100%. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So also on a tour in 2009 that was led by Rick, he showed the these like chocolate, I don't know, connoisseurs, some of their equipment, but underneath a counter in the factory, they found containers of the Valrhona chocolate.
It's like, it's red-handed. It's just that little mix. I kind of love that they just had it like straight out. But also, still, Valrhona,
I'm like, you didn't put it away,
right?
You didn't even try to do a cover up before you led your own tour of a business.
But here's where I'll defend these good thieves, because there are a lot of people that make food or whatever that. They're poisoning people. They are, they're bribing the FDA. They're killing people. And they're like, just let us keep killing people. And they're like, okay. And they just keep doing it. So, it's not, I wonder how much is probably like for a genuinely ethical food cup. That's a stat I completely made up, but it feels right. Probably four.
I agree.
And the rest, it's just a bribery. And killers and just indifferent monsters, just poisoning us on a daily basis. And we're just, we just go on with our days.
We just munch away. So that is true. The Mass Brothers aren't trying to do anything besides also give us French chocolate, which it's not like they're stealing from Hershey's.
I was gonna say, global. They're putting chocolate in the chocolate. It's not like the sawdust in the cheese scenario. So, hey.
And it's kind of like, as Nicki Minaj said, like, bitch, if you ain't shit and then get off the pot, like, all these other companies make great chocolate. I'm sure. She's Trinidadian. I'm sure she was like, the cocoa production was really slow that time. That's why they had to go to Valrhona. So she probably would back them up. They also didn't find any evidence, though, of certain ingredients on the mass chocolate lists. Because, like, vanilla beans, cocoa powder, soy, all that stuff. But like they were trying to be really like chic with it. Cause that's also what a lot of like fancy brands do. They'll be like decadently wrapped in our like homemade secrets. I'm like, no, what are the ingredients in this? And they're just like, love. And it's like, no, I need no. Okay. So you're dancing around that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. They just dance around. And also that's a smart thing. So they just started like removing stuff from their back packaging. Cause they kind of wanted to be like that. Like, oh, we don't, you care what the back of the you're reading are right. Like consumerism, and everyone's like, damn,
you're looking
yeah.
at the price, like, oh, you can't afford it.
They're like, oh, you're poor. You're like, no, I live in Dumbo, I can have it. Yeah.
Yes.
So they're like, no, I love mass chocolate. But this is like sour to your point. So everyone kind of did end up saying, like, no one is like, they can't get arrested for this. Everyone's just saying they're so good at marketing, but so bad at making chocolate. And it is so true. There are some people that I'm like, you're so dumb at so many things, but you know how to be dumb everywhere. And that is a skill set. That is a profit in 20. Yeah.
So many scammers are just like so bad at just like society, but very good at like Photoshop.
Yeah. But also there are some people and I don't know if they're scammers or just like, there's a lot in entertainment where, and there's someone I'm thinking of who I won't say who it is,
ooh,
but I've seen their work, and every time I see their work, I'm like, this is horrible. This is really, really bad. They're not good at maybe anything. And then I met this person, and they were so charming and charismatic and almost politician-like, where you just feel so seen. Certain successful scammers, I think, have this ability to, like, when they look at you or when they talk to you, like, you feel like you want to give them power. That makes you feel good, Like, that's Obama or, like, Taylor Swift. We want to help Taylor's version. Like, we feel good.
That's so true.
We feel good making these incredibly powerful people more powerful. And so, when I was interacting with this person, I was like, oh, I get it. I get why. Because me talking, I'm like, oh, maybe I'm wrong that you're bad at everything. Like, maybe you're the best at everything. And I don't know what I'm talking about. Like, you just start to question it. So these great scammers, the super successful ones, I think, have this ability to just, like, look right at you. And you're like, I know this person's full of shit, but I just want to believe them so much that I don't care. I don't care.
It's a different skill in itself. That is so true. And it's kind of like, they're like, oh, the product is more so just the placeholder to get them to the place so they can take over.
The product doesn't matter at all. Yeah. And it's totally incidental. It could be one thing. It could be a drop of your blood. It could be a cancer. It could be that you know, they'll build a house, whatever it is, everything could fall apart. But when they look at you, it's this thing you can't teach, that just, they're just born with this amazing skill. And you're like, okay, great. Take whatever you want.
So to anybody listening who's mediocre, watch American Psycho. Don't take all the advice, but do some face masks. It'll help. You know, you never know. It could maybe add you, get you a little more convincing, a little more
yeah,
nicer.
Having good skin will give you that confidence.
Honestly. So, yeah. So they kind of just, from this, when they started to do more of their own thing, they were just constantly ripped apart, chocolate being so bad. And people, the funny thing is, at the end of the day, a lot of the bean to bar people almost are thankful for them. And I feel this is kind of true in so many other industries, because they're like, yeah, they misled so many people. The chocolate's not good, but they open the door that people now don't think like, oh, $10 isn't that, that's an average price for chocolate now. They're okay. Like, oh, because they set that bar so high. So now so many other places are like, here's our good chocolate that's $8. And now it seems like a deal. It's literally like cold brew versus iced coffee now, where I'm like, oh, iced coffee's now so cheap because cold brew's $25.
You know, I think they ultimately did everybody like a service.
Yeah.
I
mean,
shit, how mad can we be? They're lifting everybody Listen, up.
If I get to spend more for chocolate, I'm a happy man.
This marketing is working on me, because I'm like, I got to go home and try this chocolate. I'm sure it's not going to taste bad to my unsophisticated palate.
We're flirting with a recession right now, but guys,
that's true.
If it's rent versus bean to bar.
If big chocolate is cashing in, then...
Yeah, milk that milk chocolate for everything it's got, baby. Yeah. So I mean, that it kind of, I don't know, I'm not mad at them for this, all in all. I kind of respect it.
No, I feel like nobody was really hurt or harmed by this, you know.
No, I think they lied and they conned some people and made some money. And I think that's part of succeeding in New York business, you know?
It's true. It's the true hipster American dream, or whatever they said.
Yeah. The American dream with a hipster twist. The karma for them is because they had those big bushy beards, the B2Bs, for their marketing, because they wanted to really be Brooklyn. And now they're stuck with them.
Right.
Because that's part of their, that's their true logo. So it's kind of like the Australian guy who had to have a shitty set of his live on YouTube forever.
Yes.
They're going to have to comb chocolate crumbs out of their like Dumbledore beards until the end of days. And it's June. It's hot as shit out, so it's not fun for them. So they got their punishment, I feel.
Right.
And I mean, it was so good. And I feel, Dan, now that people got that sense of Brooklyn, they need to watch Flap of Misdemeanors to get a different sense, a more truer sense of Brooklyn. Is there chocolate involved in this second season? Are there chocolate bars, Hershey's, candy?
There's no chocolate, but I will say there's a recurring cake thing. My character lies and says he can bake a cake, and it's
a cake scam.
recurring little thing. It's a little runner throughout the season. So, so if you like a dessert playing faintly in the background on occasion, I mean, boy, do I have a show for you.
You know, there's some feeders listening that I think are just going to be like, eat the cake. They're like, you can have an OnlyFans of just cutting that slice of cake. And, you know, that'll be the online version.
There's an episode where, like, multiple people try it and they kept, like, there's like three different actors. They, like, take it with their finger because they don't want to actually eat the cake. And I'm like, I'm just looking at him like, in this reality, just like, that's how people eat cake, just with their pinky. Like, that's like,
it's, yeah, they're like, I just love the frosting. And then they're like jogging in place on MyFitnessPal. And it's like, guys,
what it is. Yeah.
I love it. Oh, but Dan, oh my God, thank you so much for jumping on and talking to us. And also, where can people follow you after they watch the show and fall in love with you?
At Dan J. Perlman, Perlman on Twitter and Instagram, and Flatbush Misdemeanors on Showtime. Just DM me and I'll give you my Showtime password.
Yes, that was going to be our next question, was like, but how do we
I have Showtime because I watch it and I love it, and then I'll give some. I think you can only give like five, your email to five people. So anybody, when Dan gives it to five people, I'll give mine to five people. Well, actually the first person will be Sarah. I'll give it to.
And this is our pyramid scheme, guys, we did it.
We scammed ourselves.
Yes.
Oh, thank you guys
so much.
Sweet.
Not Another True Crime Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico and Sean Kilby. Our hosts are Sarah Levine and Danny Murphy. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Levine. Be sure to follow at NATC Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to natc@betches.com. Betches.